a group of private investigators, including myself, who formed an association, the Missouri Association of Private Investigators, back in 1999. And we came together and formed the association to lobby for statewide licensing after seeing the abuses that were occurring across the state, out-and-out fraud in some cases by people holding themselves out to be private investigators. Missouri was one of only a handful of states at that time, as I recall about seven states across the country that did not license private investigators at the state level. And we just felt that there needed to be some at least minimum standards to protect the public and to raise the level of professionalism in the profession across the state.
Do you require a certain amount of specific law enforcement training before people can get into this profession?
Absolutely not. There is a requirement that they have some experience, minimum experience, to be licensed in the state of Missouri, or in the absence of the experience, they can test. But law enforcement per se is not a requirement to become licensed in the state.
What kind of things do you have to, what kind of qualifications do people have to be a private investigator?
Well, there's an application process that's actually handled by the Division of Professional Registration. The Board of Private Investigator Examiners is charged with the actual administration of the licensing process. The applicants are subjected to a background investigation, including a criminal history conducted by the Missouri State Highway Patrol. There is a process that includes submission of an application and a review process by the board, and some fees which must accompany the application, as well as proof of minimum liability insurance coverage.
Okay. But you don't need to have any kind of specific training in investigations or in the law or police work or any of that sort of thing.
There are no experience requirements, as I said, with the exception of the 2 year prior, the 24 months prior to your application, you're required to have been employed full time as a private investigator.
Okay. Is that kind of an apprenticeship, or is that just something that you go out and do?
Typically, that is. There's nothing that says that you have to have had that experience working under the supervision of another investigation firm. You could have been employed exclusively on your own during that 2 year period of time. And there are different, you know, there are private investigators working in different areas of the law. You find some people who work in strictly criminal defense capacity. You find others who work in a domestic capacity. You find others who do strictly litigation support. It's a varied field, and you find people with different interests and in working in different areas all over the state.
When did the licensing law go into effect?
The law passed in 2007. It was actually it became law in August, on August 28th of that year. The following months, then Governor Blunt appointed the current board members, who were confirmed the following spring, and the board started working in 2009, and licensing actually took effect on February 1 of 2010. As of today, anyone practicing in the state of Missouri is required to be licensed. There are no grace periods, and we're aware that there are still people practicing across the state that are not licensed at this time, and the division is very actively pursuing those people and trying to bring them into compliance.
What's the penalty if they aren't licensed?
The first offense is a Class A misdemeanor. The second offense is a Class D felony.
Okay, so the misdemeanor is possible fine and jail time, and the felony could put you in prison for a while.
That's correct.
Yeah. Do you, about how many licenses have been issued so far?
Well, total there are approximately 600 to 700. I don't know the exact number today because it's an ongoing process. Many of those are what are employee investigative licenses. In other words, someone who's working exclusively as an agency employee, and the other half are. And it's just about 50-50 at this time, are licensed as full-fledged private investigators.
Do you have any feel for about how many people might be out there who haven't I mean, this is kind of a ballpark shot in the breeze figure, but how many people are not licensed yet?
We projected when this process began that we would have licensed at the end of the day somewhere around 1,000 private investigators statewide. So we're rolling up on 65-70%. We estimate there's probably another 300-350 people perhaps working in Missouri who have not applied for or received their license at this time.
Well, help me out a little bit here, because I'm not sure I quite understand. Before you can become licensed, you have to have 2 years' experience in the private investigator field.
Correct.
But to be a private investigator, you need to be licensed. So how do you do that 2 years before you're licensed legally?
The experience requirement applies only to the exemption from the test. If you walk in to the division and say, I want to become licensed as a private investigator and I've had no prior experience, you're required to test. There is a test that is administered by the division that covers not only the statutes dealing with the regulation of private investigators and the general statutes of the state of Missouri, but also the specific statute and Supreme Court rules that are relevant to our profession. So the only experience requirement benefit, if you will, is the ability to be waived from the testing procedure administered by the state.
What's the biggest misunderstanding you think the public has about private investigators?
Well, I think it's a general misconception of the type of work. It's not as sexy or as romantic as it may seem on the television depictions that we see of private investigation work. It's hard work. It's complex work in many areas. It has very few upsides, if you will. The hours are long. It's hot in the summer, cold in the winter, and the scheduling is obviously erratic. We work a lot of nights and weekends, and it looks like something that would be a lot of fun from the outside looking in, but from the inside looking out, it can have a real impact on particularly on families. It's tough scheduling.
How much of a private investigator's work is spent going through records, looking for documents, as opposed to staking out somebody to see if they're cheating on their wife?
Well, it depends on the practice that a private investigator involves himself in. Depending upon whether or not he's dealing with litigation support, as an example, he could spend a great deal of time. Our background investigations, pre-employment type investigations, you could spend a great deal of time pouring through records, and the ability to understand what's in a courthouse at both the state and federal level, and knowing how to legally retrieve and what you legally can do, and who you can disclose those records to, is a critical part of that type of work. On the other hand, if you're dealing with an investigator who does primarily, as an example, domestic type work, he's going to spend an inordinate share percentage of his time sitting in a surveillance van just waiting for some event to happen. So it just depends, again, on the type of practice that an investigator is involved in, but you can spend a great deal of time both in courthouses and online and in this day and age researching records.
What's the relationship between private investigators in a community and the local police department? Are they operating in two separate worlds, two parallel universes, or do they do some cooperating?
Well, having a law enforcement background, I can tell you that we enjoy a tremendous relationship with law enforcement here in Southwest Missouri. I think it varies from area to area, and I think part of that relationship is the quality of the private investigator. I think law enforcement, by and large, is somewhat skeptical of private investigators out there working around the fringe of what they're doing. I think, it goes directly to the quality of the private investigator and his reputation within the law enforcement community. Again, one of the reasons that we pushed so hard for licensing in Missouri was because there were private investigators who were crossing the line, who were doing things they shouldn't have been doing, either through lack of training, education, just ignorance of the law or the statutes. And when law enforcement became aware of those things, I think it had an impact and on the reputation of all private investigators statewide. That was one of the reasons that we pushed as hard as we could to bring minimum standards and continuing education and other things into the licensing process. I think it's going to have a very positive impact over the next few years on the relationship between law enforcement and the profession.
Would it be fair to say that a private investigator's work is mostly in the field of civil law or civil procedure rather than looking into actual crimes?
Not necessarily. We've worked on several very high-profile cases that ultimately resulted in people going to prison. And we worked on behalf of the victims in cases where there were some, the most recent that comes to mind involved a very complex financial fraud case. And it was a scheme that had been going on for 18 years across the United States. And the individual that was involved in that particular case, the suspect, was sentenced in federal district court this year to 23 years in prison, federal prison. So, and that's a very rewarding case for me. We do no criminal defense work in my office, but there are private investigators across the state and in other states who do nothing but work for criminal defense attorneys. We choose to work for criminal victims, victims of criminals, and help the local law enforcement, try to work with local law enforcement in concert with them to put the bad guys away.
Well, if you think there's only about 1,000 of you in the state of Missouri, that's not a whole lot of people in this profession in a state of 6 million people, is it?
No, it's not. And that takes into consideration all of the people who live outside the state and send operatives to the state of Missouri. If, as an example, if a private investigation firm is hired in Denver, Colorado, to work an assignment in Jefferson City, Missouri, they're still required when they send that investigator to Missouri to have that investigator licensed in Missouri. There is no reciprocity between Missouri licensing and any other state at this point in time.
Is licensing now universal throughout all of the states?
I believe it. As of today, there are only 4 states in the United States that do not require licensing at the state level. I'm not a big proponent politically of more regulation and more government in our lives, but this legislation and this licensing effort was long overdue for this profession in Missouri.
Well, have you reached a point where reciprocity should become an issue that the profession needs to look at?
Well, we have the authority within the statute to explore that with other states. What we're constant, what the board is doing right now is making a maximum effort to get our licensing in place before we explore the reciprocal agreements with other states. I suspect that in the next year or two that will become a reality with at least some of the states bordering Missouri.
Are private eyes mostly single practitioners, or do you have some people, do they have people working with them, such as you?
Well, we see a pretty even mix across the state. Obviously, in the larger municipalities, St. Louis and Kansas City and in Springfield, we know of several agencies that have multiple investigators working within their agency. You get into outstate Missouri, and even in the larger municipalities, you find a lot of lone wolves, guys who work by themselves, one-man operations, one or two partners from time to time. But you just find a mix from across the state. We have some very large agencies. One in Kansas City comes to mind, and one in St. Louis that have in excess of 50 investigators working out of each office. So, yeah, you find some pretty good-sized shops, and then you find shops all the way down to just one-man operation.
How do you get your business? Do people just, as the movies would say, do people just kind of show up and knock on your door and want to hire you?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I don't know that there's a one-size-fits-all answer. You find private, again, depending upon the discipline that they're working in, some private investigators promote and advertise very aggressively. We have never advertised in my 22 years here. We have built our practice entirely upon referrals. We started out with just a couple of law firms, and those law firms referred us to other law firms, and those law firms represented insurance companies. The bulk of our work here is insurance defense-related type work, fraudulent insurance claims, and criminal prosecution, as I said. And most private investigators, I think, would tell you across the state that the backbone of their firm's success or failure is their reputation and their ability to be referred by their clients.
So where does the profession go from here? You're licensed now, and you have implied with that license certain professional standards. Where does the profession go from this point?
Well, I think what we strive to do at the board level, and I think at the Missouri Association of Private Investigators level, is to continue to improve the level of professionalism and reputation of investigators in Missouri across the United States. I think we reach out through reciprocity with the surrounding states. We try to continue to improve our continuing education requirements. Private investigators licensed in Missouri have to receive 16 hours of continuing education units on a biannual basis. So, you know, we want to see the quality of that continuing education improve and to make sure that these investigators across the state have, you know, the opportunity to reach out and learn what they may not know, improve the quality of their knowledge and their skill set, and hopefully raise the bar in terms of the reputation across the country.
What kind of things do you take up in your continuing education programs?
Well, they vary. The board has to approve any curriculum that is submitted for credit. This past week, as an example, I attended the Kansas Association of Licensed Investigators annual IMARC conference over in Kansas City, and they put on an excellent one-day program with a number of speakers. And just to give you a few examples, they had a forensic cellular forensic expert there who talked about all of the things that can be done in looking at histories on cellular telephones. A computer forensics expert was there to talk about all of the websites and the search engines that were available to the investigation profession, that many of which I was not familiar with. There are legal aspects. We have attorneys speak to us regarding the privacy issues and the Federal Driver's Privacy Protection Act, as an example. There are certain records that we have access to that may necessarily get us information in our hands, but we have those come with certain encumbrances about what we can do with those records and who we can disclose those to. So that it's a continuing process to keep yourself abreast of the federal and state laws that regulate the information that we're dealing with, because they are extremely punitive when you cross the line.
You know, it sounds to me, after listening to what you just talked about, that one of the roles a private investigator has to have is, well, one of the things a private investigator has to have is a pretty good Rolodex, because there's a lot of expertise out there that the private investigator is not going to have, but they have to know who to call to find out what they need to know to get the information they need to get for their clients. Would that be right?
Well, that you're absolutely right, and I think any private investigator attempting to work anywhere in the world, for that matter, without sources, not only expert sources but also information sources, is working with one hand tied behind his back. It's an absolutely critical part of our profession.
Okay. Well, when I was talking to Travis, one of the things I was interested in exploring was, with the economy being what it has been, is your profession affected by the economy? I mean, not necessarily in terms of the clients you get, but when things get tight, are you more likely to have people coming to you wanting you to look into things or investigate things? Or when things are tight, do you just not have as much business as a lot of other business has?
It's a cruel irony in my particular case because, again, we deal in our office primarily with insurance fraud. And unfortunately, when we see economic uncertainty in times like we're dealing with right now, our business gets very, very good, because people are driven to do things they wouldn't do under normal circumstances when they're under a tremendous amount of pressure. I can't speak for other investigation agencies, but as long as there's, you know, no shortage of lying, cheating, and stealing, we have a very, very secure outlook in our office.
So a lot of companies will come to people like you instead of having investigators on their own staff. They'll contract with you.
Yeah, that's true, and they do that for two reasons. One, it gives them a greater level of credibility in the courts if they have a third party testifying independently as to what their observations were out there when looking into this person. And number two, it insulates them a little bit from the cost and the overhead of maintaining a special investigations unit in-house, and also the liability that those types of operations carry.
Well, you know, it's not exactly Maltese Falcon stuff that you guys are doing, but at the same time, it sounds like it is pretty fascinating work.
It is. It has its moments, and, you know, we, we have, as I said, day on day after day that is very dull and uneventful, and then we have days that can be pretty exciting and fast-paced, particularly in the criminal prosecution field. And there's a great deal of satisfaction that comes from, this work. If you get into this business just for the money, you're in it for the wrong reason. It's got to be something that gives you a good feeling at the end of the day, knowing that you were on the side of right.